I'd invite you to turn to the book of Psalm, as was read to us this morning by Elder Evans. 103, the 103rd Psalm, and verses 3 and 4 in particular, I would like to draw your attention to this morning. From the version that I'm reading from, it says, in reference to the Lord, He pardons all our iniquities or sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. Now, we have a lot of visitors here today, and there's no reason why we can't, from time to time, at least agree with what's written in the Word and say, Tom, amen, right? Folks, if you have been redeemed, you should be able to say just a little bit under your breath, thank you, Jesus. Wouldn't hurt. If you have been redeemed, if God has healed you, and if He has removed your iniquities, certainly we should be able to say, thank you, Jesus, or amen, or maybe bless the Lord, O my soul. God has blessed your soul. You know, tragedy of all tragedies, we as Christians come to church week after week after week. And we sit through sermons, as I have done many, many years, and we leave with the same spirit that we came. Many of us come sick, spiritually afflicted with sin, and we leave the same as what we came. Why? Shouldn't the church be a place where we can lay our burdens down? Shouldn't the church be a place where we can find healing? Yes, it should be. When you come here, if you leave with the same that you came, dear friend, may it not be this preacher's fault. I pray that if there's anything that you and I receive today, it's healing from Jesus Christ, emotionally, spiritually, socially perhaps today. We need to be healed as a people. We need not just to come and go like a door on its hinge week after week. Jesus wants to heal you and me today. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark, if you would, to Mark's little gospel. We don't read much from that, but I'd like to share a couple of stories from the book of Mark today, the very first chapter, and starting with verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Now, we have Bibles in the pews for those of you that didn't bring them this morning. So take one of the little Bibles out of the pew and share it with someone next to you if they don't have a Bible, because we're going to be studying this morning a couple of stories where Jesus healed the sick. Folks, that's why we come to church, that we might be healed. We today, may I suggest, some of us here at least, are sick. Some of us here have the leprosy of sin. Some of us here have the cancer of sin, and it's growing. And folks, like cancer, it destroys good cells unless it's eradicated. And if we don't get rid of that which is destroying us, it will ultimately destroy us. Very serious. Take a look at verse 40. Now, Jesus had gone throughout the synagogues at Galilee, and He had preached, and He had cast out devils. Verse 40 says, and a leper came to Him, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying to Jesus, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Why did he say that? May I suggest, as we take a look at a little of the history of this particular culture, a leper was a person who was unclean. In fact, there was a special ceremony that was performed by the priest over those who came to the priest when they thought they had this cursed disease. They had to go before the priest, and the priest would take a look at them, George, and they would look them physically, all over, and if they saw that this person had that dreaded disease, then they would go through a certain ceremony and he would be excommunicated from the church, from Israel. He would be let go. Why? Doesn't he need a church? Absolutely. Doesn't he need the fellowship? In his condition, he would certainly need the family. But not so in those days. They excommunicated the one who had the disease. And he was cut off from Israel, because you see, the person who had the disease actually was receiving a judgment of guess whom? God. You see, God had smitten the individual who had leprosy. And so we dare not allow him to remain as part of the family of Israel. This is a sinner. And God himself has shown by a demonstration of his physical being that this man has been cast away by God. Therefore, we, God's people, must cast him away. Have you ever felt like that? That you were rejected or cast away from God's people? Have you ever known someone who did feel that way? Do you have a friend who feels that way, who isn't here today, that should be here today? But perhaps he feels that the priest somehow cut him off, or her off from God. Then listen to the story today, because this is good news for your friend. This is good news for you, if you happen to have come here today. This individual whom we find coming in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, before Jesus, is asking a question, and he's making a statement very, very important. If you are willing, you could make me clean. Why is he saying, if you're willing? Doesn't he know that God is willing? No, he doesn't know. Why? Because the church has ostracized him. The church represents God. And if the church has declared that those who have leprosy are unclean and rejected of God, then it's no wonder he comes on bended knee saying, Lord, if you're willing. He doubts whether God is willing. Are you doubting in your mind today whether God is willing to lift your burden? Then listen to the answer. Listen to what Jesus says. This dear man had not only been excommunicated from the church, he had been excommunicated from his village, and he was now destined to die among those who had the same disease that he had. He could no longer see his wife. He could no longer embrace his children. He could no longer sit at the table as a family. He now had to leave everything that was dear to him and be rejected not only by man, but inwardly to feel that he was rejected by God himself. Have you ever felt that way? Just a little bit? Rejected by man, and even worse, rejected by God? It's no wonder we find him almost crawling. I picture the scene in my mind. I picture this man, this one leper, because, you see, the lepers didn't bother to go to Jesus because they knew in their heart that Jesus wouldn't heal lepers. They had heard of Jesus. They had heard all around Galilee that Jesus healed all manner of disease and sickness. But leprosy, no, he could not heal. He would not heal because it was a curse. It was a judgment of God. So God wouldn't go contrary to what the priest taught. And thus, of course, what the priest taught was not correct. And there was one man out of all of the leper colonies in that area, one man that seemed as though something was drawing his inner soul. Something was appealing to him. Something was driving him on. He could not remain satisfied, even though he was with those that he had learned to accept as his brothers, those who were wasting away like he was. He was one among many who felt he had to go and see the man Jesus. He had to hear him for himself. I picture in my mind's eye that he was a very horrible mess by the time that he saw Jesus. Perhaps his ears had rotted away. Perhaps his nose was gone. I don't know. Perhaps his lips were gone and only his teeth were showing, which he could not cover. And embarrassed to even have anyone look upon him, he went out and dared to walk where he was not allowed to walk. And that was where other people were walking. He had heard that the Galilean was in his area, and he dared to walk toward him. It was Christ, I believe, that was wooing him through the power of his Spirit that was drawing him to Jesus. Jesus could have gone to him, but he wanted the leper to come to him. Jesus wants you and me to come to him. Just take one step is all he's saying. One step, but come to me. You see, Jesus doesn't force his way on any of us who may be today even suffering under the great leprosy of sin and guilt and depression and fear or anger or resentment or jealousy or envy or bigotry. God does not force his way on our life. He simply sends his Spirit to lead us to a better way. And so it was the Holy Spirit, I picture in my mind's eye, leading this leper away from the leper colony and leading him into so-called civilized culture, where those who walked about did not have the disease that he had. Oh, they had a disease. They had a disease, but they didn't have his. Sometimes we look at ourselves in the church and we say, well, aren't you glad that I'm not like other men? My disease is not as telling, it's not as obvious, because we keep it cloaked and look so good in church. But Jesus sees beyond the sham that many of us from week to week wear. Jesus looks into our heart. He sees the intents, the purposes, the motives that underlie our actions. Jesus knows it all. And this man who was in bad figure, who was distasteful to the common man, walked among the common men. And they withdrew. I picture them withdrawing in disgust. And yet as he approaches Jesus, Jesus is down by the river. Down by the lake, if you please. The man now rivets his eyes, as it were, upon this man, the Galilean Jesus Christ. He hears him speak for the first time. And it's true what he's heard. It's true that no man's ever spoken like this man. His words do not seem to have barbs upon them. His words seem to be soft and well chosen. His words seem to touch the hearts of sensitive people who have been walked upon before. Jesus' words seem to come home to a heart that's responding to be accepted by him. And the man is drawn closer and closer to Jesus. His eyes cannot leave the form of Jesus. His ears cannot hear the disgustful comments of those that he now passes. The jeering crowd, as they look at him and move away in disgust, he does not hear. I wish to God that sometimes you and I, when we were pressing toward Jesus, were not detracted by those about us, but that we could put our eyes on Jesus and walk toward him without fear of those about us. I wish that sometimes we would not stop to gaze about to those on the left nor those on the right to see if we're doing the right thing, but we would keep our eyes on Jesus and our ears on his still small voice. And dear friend, we would find our peace at the feet of Jesus. Too many of us are listening to those about us, but this man I picture was not. He set out to find Jesus, and when he saw him, he couldn't resist him. And I believe that's the truth with all of us. To know God is to love him. Those who are not drawn to Jesus Christ is because they have never fallen in love with him. They have never dared to get acquainted with him. But this man was changed even before he came into the presence of God. For he was in the process of change when the Holy Spirit told him to come. And now he's on his way and nothing can stop him. The crowd moves back and makes the way for him. It becomes very silent, I picture in my mind, as this man now prostrates himself at the feet of Jesus. Perhaps he only had a club for a hand. Perhaps his fingers were all rotted off. I don't know. I've seen people with leprosy. You have too. Perhaps he was staggering on a club foot, a foot that at one time used to carry him through the valleys and used to carry him back to home after a day's work, but it wasn't there anymore. But he didn't care. It wasn't the physical that he was concerned about anymore. It was the spiritual, because he wanted to be accepted by God. The one thing that drove home more than anything else in his mind while he was separated from the church was the idea that God had forsaken him. If he could just know for sure that what the priest taught was true, if I could just know that God has rejected me, the church has let me go, but has God let me go? There are people today asking the same question in this nation. Are you aware? I think you are, for I think you have heard, as I have, that there are more Seventh-day Adventists, ex-Seventh-day Adventists in North America today, than exist in the entire world of Seventh-day Adventists. Let me say it again in case you didn't catch that. There are more former Seventh-day Adventists, ex-excommunicated Seventh-day Adventists in this nation than we have in the world church of Seventh-day Adventists. The swinging back door. Are they asking the same question that perhaps we have taught them? We have excommunicated them. We have allowed them to go. We have let them go. We have encouraged perhaps some of them to go. And I'm wondering if in their mind they say that God has also forsaken me and let me go, because what the church does is what God does. If that's true, there's a lot of brothers and sisters out there that are hurting today. Millions of them. And they need to hear this message this morning, dear friend. They need to come before Jesus and ask God if it's true. That because the church let me go, does that mean that you have let me go too? I love what Paul said, that in God we live and we move and we have our being in Him. As long as breath follows breath and your pulse continues to beat, dear friend, it's a promise, it's an evidence that God's power lives in you. As long as God's presence is with you, His power is sustaining your life, there is still opportunity for you to respond to Him if you so choose to do so. And this man was responding and going contrary to traditional belief. He had to hear it from Jesus' own lips that Jesus rejects those who are afflicted with the disease of sin. For folks, he had a compound problem. He was rejected by a church because of a sin, but he was compounded because spiritually he felt rejected by God. And it was that condition that we find this man now kneeling at the feet of Jesus, not daring to look into his face. But I picture him with his face as it were into the dirt, a silence upon the crowd. And there he stammers out, if you are willing, I know you can make me clean. How did he know? Because of what he had seen, standing there on the slope looking down on the sea where he saw Jesus. He saw people come who were lame. He saw those who had come on crutches. He saw those who had been brought by friends. And he watched as Jesus healed their maladies. And he watched as they stood once again. He watched as they leaped and praised God and rejoiced in His name. He saw it. He heard the praises. But he wondered if God could save a wretch like him. Have you ever wondered in your life if God could reach down and really change your life too? Oh, it's true. He can reach down and touch the hearts of pastors and elders and deacons and organists. He can touch the hearts of leaders within the church. But can He really reach your heart? You know how you struggle in your own life. Perhaps you, like me, sometimes find yourself so low that you feel that everybody else could be saved, but not you. God can save everyone but you. He can heal everyone but you. Dear friend, if that is you this morning, then take heart, because this man represents you. And when he came before Jesus, Jesus did not reject him. My Bible and yours says that God will not throw out one man who comes to Him. Not one soul who honestly comes to the throne of Calvary will Jesus turn His back upon. Notice what it says. Verse 41, and moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand. And what did He do? The Bible says He reached out and touched the man. A leper you don't touch. A leper is rejected. In fact, no one even wants to be around them, for the stench is horrible. It's a living, decaying, rotting death. In fact, in those days, as even in ours today, there are those who would refrain from reaching out and touching a sinner because, especially of this type, because you could become contaminated, Jim. In fact, if they were to breathe upon you, you might inhale their disease and become contaminated. Thus, they were cast out. There are those today that don't make hospital visits, Tom, because they're afraid they might become contaminated by some of the people that they might touch. This man, we could say today, was a victim of AIDS. Let's say that his own course of sin had brought upon him a natural calamity. Now he's rejected by the church. He's also rejected by his family. He's rejected by the priest. He's rejected by religion. And they're telling him that because of his sins and because now of the judgment of God upon him, that he's also been rejected by God Himself. And we don't want to breathe their breath. We don't want to touch their frame. We don't want them in the hospitals. We don't want them in our culture. We want them away from us. And so the crowd moved back to make way for this victim, this sinner, this repulsive man upon whom the judgments of God had fallen. And yet God Himself, moved with compassion, reaches out and touches the man with His own hands. I picture Jesus reaching down and touching the man's shoulder. Perhaps you can or cannot picture it in your mind, but I picture it going beyond that. I picture Jesus, which is so common to Him, to get on the level of those that He served. I picture Jesus kneeling before this man, and I picture Him putting His hands, one on each of His shoulders, and holding Him between His hands. Those same hands that were soon to be uplifted on Calvary's cross for you and me. I picture Jesus with those hands now embracing the ugliness of this man. On Jesus' knees, I picture Him until this man raises his face and looks into the face of Jesus Christ. And I dare say that no man, no matter how deep he is in sin, can look on the face of Jesus Christ and ever be the same again. For in that face is not condemnation. For God sent not His Son into this world to condemn, but that the world through Him might be saved. You can say amen to that. Jesus was here to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was bringing the good news of the gospel. Have you heard any lately? Jesus, I picture, was kneeling with the man, empathizing with the man. His heart was moved with compassion. Jesus had in His mind, this man's wife. I believe that He saw the children of this man that had longed to see their daddy but couldn't see him anymore because he had been rejected. How long it had been, I have no idea, but I imagine that Jesus knew it all. And Jesus knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And as all the multitudes watched, as the disciples watched, Jesus then looks into the face of this man and says to him, I am willing. Be thou cleansed. I am willing. Why do we paint a picture that Jesus Christ is not willing to seek and to save unto the uttermost all who come unto Him? Why do we paint such a picture of Jesus? Dear friend, Jesus Christ came to save me. Can't He save others as well? No wonder Paul was such a powerful preacher, because he realized that he was the chief of sinners. You don't get any lower. And if God could save Paul, there wasn't a human being on the earth that Jesus could not save. That's why Paul had such a dynamic gospel to preach, because there was hope for anyone who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there's hope for you and me. Yes, Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Can you picture the scene in your mind this morning? Those hands of Jesus. I love to hear Brother Henry Wright preach. Brother Joe, you were sitting with me a week ago when we heard Brother Henry Wright preach. When I hear him preach, it makes me want to be a preacher. Just gets me excited, and I want to preach the good news of salvation. I think for a moment there, Brother Joe, you even wanted to be a preacher. I picture in my mind what Elder Wright would see. Jesus touching that form, that lifeless form, that decaying, rotting, putrefying form. When Jesus said, I will, be thou cleansed, what this man received as cleansing was an inner cleansing. What this man received was hope in his heart. What this man received was a message from God Himself that I love you. I accept you as a person. Oh, he came, he looked horrible outside, but God looked on the inner part of the man just as He does with you and me. He sees our heart longing inside, and He knows. And you know what's beautiful? In the presence of Jesus Christ, sin cannot exist. It will be consumed in God's presence, and it was consumed out of a man's life because He came that it might be eradicated. And what did God put in its place? Not only peace and hope and assurance and security, which the world today is fighting desperately to achieve. Jesus did it all in a moment. But beyond that, Jesus blessed him. For the man wanted healing inside. But Jesus, so often like he works, he doesn't stop with one miracle. And then he worked another. And he healed the physical being of the man. I picture those hands touching that man's skin. And I don't think skin can talk nor think. I don't think that cells have the ability within itself to be conscious and aware of who's touching it. And yet at the same time, it's a mystery I can't understand. There's still something there that there's a mystery. For Jesus speaks and waves stop roaring. Jesus speaks and the clouds disappear and the lightning ceases. Or when Jesus speaks, lightning can flash. I don't understand how nature moves under God's control and His power, but it does. He spoke and it stood fast. But I picture the hand of the great Creator God as it touched this decaying flesh, that something happened to that man. I picture that the Creator God, when He comes into contact with His human being, that the human being must be changed. And I picture all those cells inside of that man's body all of a sudden coming to attention. Our Creator has spoken. Those cells recognized the power of Almighty God, and they came to attention. Don't ask me how or why, but all of nature responds when Jesus speaks. And Jesus' hands touched that man, and from His hands coursed the life-giving power that only God, the Creator, can give. And that man grew another foot, if he had one to grow. That man grew fingers that afternoon. That man grew a new nose, perhaps an ear. And those who stood by and watched beheld the miracle. They saw that scaly skin, that white blotched skin. They saw it turn. In front of their very eyes, they beheld the power of the creation of God and man. How could any man, woman, or child looking upon that creation ever turn against Jesus Christ? How could they? And yet, dear friend, you and I do it every day. Perhaps unwittingly, perhaps we don't intend to, perhaps we didn't really intend to do it, but we do, we turn our back on Jesus. We say things behind His back that makes Him not proud that we have called ourselves Christians or Christ followers. We use His name in vain. We say His little words that we don't really mean anything by it, but we just curse now and then. Perhaps our evil thoughts are allowed to wander at random and we never bring them into check. And yet we say we're Christians. And yet we lash out at one another. We speak behind one another's backs. I ask again, how can any man see the miracles of God in another person and yet turn our backs on God? How could we ever see the miracle of conversion in our lives? The power that God has wrought in our lives and yet turn our backs on Jesus? Don't ask me how. I know it happens. It happens in my life. But I don't desire it. I don't want to turn my back on Jesus. I want Jesus to be my friend. I want to be consistent with Him, Bill. I want to have Jesus as my friend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but I find it hard. Have you? Doral talked about it in the children's story this morning. That tearing experience in our life. The old man wants control. And Jesus wants to give us peace. Jesus sent the man away. Verse 44, saying, don't tell anyone, but go rather and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Who was the them? May I suggest the priest? For the very priest who had condemned this man to death, the living death, by the finger of God, the very priest now saw this man come to them again, cleansed, whole, pure. And he arrived before the rumors did. He arrived before anybody else came and told him who had healed him. And so they were not prejudiced. They had no reason to be. All they could do is say, the Jehovah God has healed you. And through another ritualistic ceremony, they pronounced him clean. and then sent him home to his family. Jesus said, "See that you tell no man, but offer your gift that Moses said you're to offer." Why? And why to them? Dear friend, Jesus was trying to do something. Not only did he want this man to receive total freedom so he could go back home with his family without the priest being bigoted or biased because of having a false report. That's why he told him to go immediately. But Jesus also wanted the priest to know that when they found out that it was Jesus who healed this man, that Jesus was in support of Moses' law. Are you hearing me? Because they said that Jesus was against Moses. Jesus was against the law. He was not in harmony with the word. But Jesus told this man to give the offering just like Moses said it needs to be given. So when they found out that it was Jesus who healed him, that they would not be able to come back against Jesus, but rather it would be an evidence that Jesus was in support of the men and the women that he inspired. Why do I bother to tell you that? Because having said all the negative things that I did this morning about the priests and about the men in the temple, there was a heart longing of Jesus Christ that never ceased, even on Calvary's cross. A heart longing that he had not just for those who were the common sinner, but he had a compassion and a love for the uncommon sinner. Hear me, church, for a few moments. He had a strange compassion for the uncommon sinner. He had a compassion for those who wore those royal robes, who had those little phylacteries. He had a compassion for those men who preached his word but did not know the word themselves. And time and again, Jesus tried to reach the heart of the leaders of the church that they might respond to him as their own Messiah. And even though the scriptures in the Gospels do not indicate much response from the priests, we know that their lives were changed. And when Jesus finally hung on Golgotha's hill, and when he cried out on that mountain that day and said, "Father, forgive them," included in that "them" were those uncommon sinners, the priests who stood at the foot of his cross. It was those from the Sanhedrin who were there. Jesus was asking his Father to forgive them too, that they might be in his kingdom. And dear beloved, I believe that there were men on that hill who had the royal garments that day who became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because the book of Acts says so. That after Jesus died and was resurrected again and went to heaven and Pentecost fell, that there were many priests who were added to the faith. Daily, they came in. The uncommon sinner. Dear friend, don't throw out the pastor. He may be hard at times. He may be cold at times. He may seem to be indifferent at times. He may not have any compassion at times. But pray for your pastor. Pray for the leaders of the church. They have an awesome responsibility today. When the whole world seems to be plummeting itself into apostasy and into loose morals today, there are men and women who are trying to stop it from going that way. And sometimes they react in a way that leaves the impression that God doesn't love sinners. But it isn't true. God loves them, and sometimes we pastors don't know how to curb the apostasy we see on all hands. So forgive us, but pray for us. That some of us too might one day reach out and touch the hand of Jesus and be ushered into his kingdom with you. I pray that God will help us as a church and as a family to learn to love one another, to love those who no longer walk with us, to reach out to those who are hurting, those who have been bruised, those who have been afflicted by us, and win them back. Woo them back, bring them back, love them back, plead for them to come back. May God help us as a church to continue what we have been doing for a long time. Don't give up. Sister, are you glad that George is with us today? Praise God. Don't give up. There are others that need to be here, dear friend. Don't give up. Gloria, don't give up. God loves you. He loves every one of us. My appeal to you this morning is, once you have set your eyes on Jesus Christ, no matter what your condition, don't take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Don't take your ears off of the words of Jesus when He says unto you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says to you and me today that we can have that rest if we'll ask Him for it. Father in heaven, today we come before You not because we're worthy, but because we have a need. And that need itself, we're told in Steps to Christ, is our assurance that we will be heard. Father, today we come before You just as we are. Our need is that we be healed emotionally, physically, spiritually, socially, as a body, as a church. God, help us not to fight anymore. Help us to learn to embrace one another and accept one another as You have accepted us. There's room for all of us at the foot of the cross. Father, today as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we want to just say as Your children today, that we have special needs. And I don't know what those needs are. But Father, today we just want to respond as Your children and lift our hands heavenward right now, wherever we are seated, and just acknowledge before heaven right now, wherever you are, God, I have a need. I have a need in my heart, and I want You to hear my need this morning. Read my heart. If you're like me, your hands should be raised heavenward, folks. Some of you should have both hands in the air this morning saying, God, I need You this morning. I have needs. Father, please, You see the hands all over Your church today. Needs. Hurting families, mothers that are hurting this morning. Fathers and husbands who have been separated. Children who are hurting this morning that need You. God, come into our lives today and heal us so when we leave this church today, we might know that there is a God who lives, that there is a God who moves, and there's a God who loves us individually and is willing to come even now and give us peace. Father, thank You for hearing our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Willard Santee, American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker. International Copyright 1991, American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. Thank you for requesting American Cassette Ministry cassettes. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.